We are going to read from the Word of God in John's Gospel and chapter number 19. And we will read from verse number 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That's our reading from God's precious word. And I trust that as we speak today, you will most certainly see the relevance of the words that we have read, and particularly the words, it is finished. It is indeed a great privilege to be able to tell you of the great salvation that God has saved us with. It is a great salvation, you know. And my story of how God worked with me and saved me is simple, because I wasn't in a worldly environment. I was saved when I was young, and I was brought up under the sound of the gospel. So I knew the truth of God from an early age, and God saved me from a life of sin. Others God has saved out from a life of sin, but I was saved away from a life of sin. But it does not matter whether a person is saved out of the absolute horrors of the grip of sin, or whether someone is saved young in life, being preserved from the grip of sin. It's still a great salvation. And you know, I want to just say before I give a little account of God's saving grace of my life, to say that this salvation is a great salvation. Number one, because of whose salvation it is. It is God's salvation. Oh, that brings great peace and joy and reassurance to my soul. It's God's salvation. That means it's a salvation without a flaw. It's a salvation without a fault. It's a salvation without a weakness, because it is God's perfect salvation. But not only is it without flaw or weakness, it is beautiful. It is glorious. It is marvelous, this salvation that is from the hand of Almighty God. I am glad today I'm not going to tell you of religion and the salvation it would offer. I'm not going to point you to myself. No, my dear friend, salvation is of the Lord, and we will be directing you in our thoughts as we tell of God's saving grace to God, our Savior. It's a great salvation because how God has worked out this great salvation. God has not put it into the hands of men, this salvation, but God has worked it out for himself. God has done all the working and all the providing in this great salvation. And he has sent his son to be the savior of the world. It is great because of how God has worked out this great salvation. It is great because of what it saves from. Oh, it saves from the power and the grip of sin. It saves from the horrors of sin. It saves from this present evil world. And praise God, it saves us for eternity from the awful consequences of our sin. It is a great salvation. But it's a great salvation too because of what it saves us into, what it brings us into. My dear friend, this afternoon, anyone who is saved will tell you that we never deserve God's salvation. But what God has saved us into is beyond what tongue can tell. Do you know this afternoon, and many who are listening in on this call, we are the sons of God. We are brought into the position of sons of God. We have a dignity that this world knows nothing of. We're going to spend all eternity with Christ at his side as the bride of Christ. This is a marvelous thing, joint heirs with Christ. This truly is a great salvation. And I have so much to be thankful for that God saved my precious soul with this great salvation. I have mentioned to you that I was brought up in a God-fearing home, a home in which I was instructed in the Word of God. And I knew God's way of salvation. I knew that all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. I learned that verse from my youth. I can't tell you when I first learned it. But not only did I learn that I was a sinner, but I learned that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I was told of the love of God, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I was told that I could have this salvation by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. As I grew a little older, I was taught portions of Scripture. I remember learning John's Gospel, chapter 19. I remember learning Isaiah and chapter number 53. I remember learning John chapter 1, Psalm 23, and the Word of God was poured into my ears. But you know, when all of that was said and done, do you know what I was? I was a sinner who needed saved. I have to admit to you, as a boy growing up, having the great privilege of hearing the Word of God, I thought to myself, and I suppose I couldn't have worded it this way, I can only look back now and see it, that somehow there was the boys at school who cursed and swore and told lies and got up to significant naughtiness. And then there was the Christians, those who were saved. And then there was me. I think I thought somehow or other that, well, I wasn't as bad as other men were. No, I wasn't saved. I knew that. But you know, God had to awaken me to the reality that Brian Stewart, though he knew the truth, didn't believe the truth. Oh, I would have said I believed the Word of God. I would have said I believed that I was a sinner. I believe what the Bible said. I believed about God. But you know, I want to tell you, there came a time in my life when God brought it home to me with force. Brian, you're a sinner going down to hell and you need salvation. I remember it very well. It was, as far as I know, the 17th of March, 1983. And the only reason that date is of significance, of course, is because in Northern Ireland, where I come from, that is St. Patrick's Day. It is a day of significance in Ireland. And many Irish all over the world think of St. Patrick's Day, and they know nothing of the message of the gospel and the impact that Patrick had as he brought the message of the gospel to Ireland. But it was St. Patrick's Day, and my dad had taken us, a little family, my brother and I, on a day trip up into a county called Donegal. And it's the northwest coast of the north of Ireland. And it was at that time quite a wild and rugged place, and still is. And there were little tiny roads, just maybe a car wide or so, and they would go across the mountain tops, which were quite marshy at the top. And so the road was very up and down and very uneven. And we went there on a day trip, as we oftentimes would do. And as we were driving along that road, we were listening to a cassette. Now, maybe some of the young people won't know what a cassette is, but cassette came before CDs and before MP3s and downloads. And that's where you put the music on, a tape cassette, and you put the cassette into the car and you would play the music. And it was a tape cassette that Mr. Harding of Wales, that some of you may know, Phil Harding, had given to us. And it was a group of singers from the Orkney Islands in Scotland. And they were singing and they had beautiful harmonies. And as we were driving along these little rough and rocky roads in County Donegal in the north of Ireland, we were singing along to the hymns. My father was saved. He was sitting in front of me. My mother was saved. She was in the passenger seat. And my brother was saved, and he was to the left of me. And as we were driving along, I was singing along with these hymns with the rest of the family. But there was one hymn that came on, and the words of that hymn were something like these: "Rocky road, take us home to be with Jesus." And in my 11-year-old mind, I was, enjoying the fact that we were on this little rough and rocky road in County Donegal, and we were singing about a rough and rocky road, and I was singing at the top of my lungs along with the rest of the family. But my mother and father, they had obviously that lifelong burden that their boy would be saved and the little family would be complete in Christ. And my father was seeking to create a thought in my mind about my soul. And he said, "Isn't it great to be going home to heaven?" Well, mothers tend to be a little bit more sometimes direct than fathers, especially with their boys. And Mum replied to my father, and she says, "Yes, it's great to be going home to heaven, but Brian's not." You might think that's a very confrontational statement to make to an 11-year-old boy. Do you know something? It's just what I needed to hear. And God wrote those words on my mind with great force and great impact. And I began to understand for the first time, Brian, you're not going home to heaven. As it stands today, Brian, you're going to be in hell. And you're just the same as everyone else around you. You need to be saved. My dear soul, today I want to tell you, you are in great urgent need of God's salvation. If you're not saved, there is only one destiny that you're certain of, and that is hell and the lake of fire. Is that cruel or harsh of me to tell you? No, my dear friend. I tell it out of love to you, to tell you the truth. Because the reality is, it is heaven or hell for eternity. Your eternal destiny is at stake. Your life, whether it be a few sins or a multitude of sins, will come to an end. And those sins, unforgiven, demand justice. And a life of refusal to believe God will end in the lake of fire. And my dear friend, today you're without excuse. Because I tell you plainly, God loves you. Christ died that you might be saved. He suffered and bled and died upon that cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Christ suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring you to God. You're without excuse. It's not God's fault that you're not saved. There are some, you know, and they go through life knowing the gospel very well, but in their pride and in their arrogance, they think it's all about them. And it thinks it's all about the amount of their faith and their anxiety. My dear friend, it's not. You need to believe God. Take God at his word regarding the sufficiency of Christ and the greatness of this salvation. Trust him. Then, my dear friend, you'll be able to sing with me today. It is well with my soul, but I couldn't sing it then. I was a sinner going down to hell. I needed saved. And I learned that lesson on the 17th of March, 83. and it never left me. It wasn't too long after that that there came meetings to a little place called The Bay, not far from where we lived in Muckrafelt in Northern Ireland. The Bay was just a little hamlet of houses, and there was a temporary building put up. We would call it a portable hall, and it was put up for the preaching of the gospel. And there was two preachers that came along to that location, Mr. Martin and Mr. Jennings, and they were going to preach the gospel. And I thought to myself, Brian, you're going down to hell. You need to get saved. This is an opportunity to get saved. And I went along to those meetings. And the first week passed, and I wasn't saved. The second week passed, and I wasn't saved. The third week passed, and I wasn't saved. I don't know how many, whether it was the fourth or the fifth week, but eventually it came to the 8th of May of that same year, 1983. That's why I know when I refer to the 17th of March, 83, that I know it was the year 83, because it was later in that year of May of 83 that I learned another lesson. And that was on the 8th of May, and I learned another very important lesson. Number one lesson, Brian, you're not saved and you're going down to hell and you need to be saved. But on the 8th of May, it was a Sunday. And on that particular Sunday, my grandfather had asked my dad to go down to the assembly there near Dromore in Northern Ireland, a little place called the Red Hill, and to go down there and to preach the gospel. And my dad agreed to go along and preach the gospel there. I went along with my dad so that I could see my grandparents. And we did that, and we came home. And I can't really tell you anything about the meeting or the journey home much. I have a few small recollections. But what I remember is this, is coming in that evening into the house. And as we came through the back door of the house, it opened up into the kitchen and a little living area. And that's where we normally sat as a family. And as we went through the door, my father going through the door first, my mother was sitting in a chair in the corner, and the tears were rolling down her face. And my dad, of course, what's wrong? What's happened? It was the days before mobile phones. And he inquired as to what had happened. And she says, it's good news. It's good news. And it was. She told him that Mark and Sharon Johnson got saved tonight. A brother and sister. A brother and sister who didn't know that one another were anxious about God's salvation and wanted to be saved. And separately in their little bedrooms, they came to trust Christ. And one by one, they came down and told their parents. It's the best news a parent could ever hear. The salvation of a son and of a daughter. I wonder, dear parent, on today, is that the greatest priority of your life? The salvation of your children and the growth, the spiritual growth of your children. I wonder, is that your greatest priority? Praise God. There are parents. My parents certainly put the salvation of their boys before anything else. I praise God for that with all my soul. But the priority of salvation, it gives a great joy, you know, then when a soul gets saved. And as I sat down in the little chair beside the door and listened to the news and the general gist of what happened and so on, there was only one thought that I can only say crushed in upon my mind with great force. It was this: Brian, if the Lord were to come on a Sunday morning, you'd be the only person in that hall that would be left behind. As I looked around, and now Mark and Sharon, who hadn't been saved, now they were saved. The others who were around were saved or had professions of salvation. As far as I was concerned, I was the only one out of Christ. And if the Lord should come, I thought to myself, the hymn books will be in seat, the dinner will be in the oven, and I'll be left behind. And I will know the wrath of God. And you know, the lesson I would learn that day is, I needed to be in a hurry to be saved. Oh, I'd learned that I was a sinner going down to hell. But that day I learned there's a great urgency about this salvation. It is not something to be trifled with or left till tomorrow, neglected or set aside, or I'll get saved when I'm a little older and I'm a little wiser and I've settled down. No, my dear friend, I want to tell you that's a lie from the pit of hell. And there's many, and they've drank it in, and today they're still not saved. Why? They didn't believe God that said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And I wanted to be saved. That was a Sunday. The next day, of course, was a Monday. It usually is Monday after Sunday, isn't it? Well, on the Monday, of course, school. I said to my mum, I says, Mum, I don't feel well. I don't want to go to school. My mother knew very well what was wrong. My mum was a nurse, had been a nurse, and she seemed to be able to detect fake sickness at a mile. I remember one occasion taking the thermometer and dipping it into the cup of tea and hoping that that would get me out of school. But needless to say, a temperature of 108 or whatever it was in Fahrenheit soon betrayed the lie. But that day, my mum knew. She knew why I didn't want to go to school. And she said, Brian, you can stay at home, but you'll go to the meeting tonight. And I agreed to that. I went to the meeting that night, and I can't recall much of what the preacher said. But one thing I do remember very well is that Mark and Sharon Johnson, who had just got saved, were in the car with us, and I can remember so well how they sang. They were always good singers. They always sang well, but there was something different that night. I knew there was something different, and I thought along the lines, it's well for them, they're saved, but I'm still not saved, and I couldn't sing along with them because I knew what they had was different. We went to the meeting. Don't remember much that was said. Came home. About 10 o'clock that evening, I burst into tears and I said to my mother and father, I want to be saved. And you could appreciate, they brought to me the word of God. They knew that was the only answer. They knew that's what I needed. They knew that the word of God would bring light. And so they read to me from the scriptures. My mother and my brother told me how they were saved. And they gave me some tracts, marked my Bible in various places for me, places I was familiar with, gave me a hymn book as well. And the advice from my father was this, Brian, you get alone with God because this is between you and God. They pointed me in the right direction. They read to me the word of God, but you know something? They couldn't save my soul. They couldn't give me a form of words to say that would save me. They couldn't lead me in a prayer that would save me. This was going to have to be between me and God. And they sent me to my room to get alone with God. Needless to say, they prayed. It came late in the evening. I suppose maybe 11:30, 12 o'clock, something like that. And they said, Brian, we're going to bed, and if you need us, come into the room and get us. And they didn't sleep. You see, here are saints. And they recognize that there is a soul at the very door of heaven, as it were, at the very age of salvation, just the step between them and salvation, and yet nearer to the burnings. They couldn't sleep. They prayed for their boy. I was alone in my room and reading the word of God, reading tracts, trying to turn up random places in scripture to see if I could get any light. I wanted to be saved. I tried to believe. I tried to have enough faith. And then I came to the conclusion that wasn't the problem. The problem was I wasn't anxious enough. And so I read about hell and of judgment to see if that would make me more anxious. And then Let's see if now I could be saved. My dear soul, do you know what I was doing all the time? I was putting the emphasis upon me, my faith, my striving. Do you know what I was doing? I was trying to put confidence in my faith. It may sound ridiculous, but to have faith in my faith, that my faith was so important that my faith would save me, and therefore I needed a faith in my faith, and I was constantly looking to see if I could build up enough faith to believe God. I was 11 years of age. It rolled into the small hours of the night. It was about 1:45 in the morning. I was still seeking after God's salvation. And you know something? Not once did mother or father come into the room and say, "Brian, it's too late. Go to sleep." They left me alone with God, praying earnestly for me. But about 1:45 in the morning, my dear mum couldn't bear it anymore not to know whether I was asleep or whether I was awake. And she just made the excuse of going to the bathroom that was nearby. And of course I heard her, and I called to her, and I says, "Mum, please come in and help me." She sat down on the bed beside me. What was she going to tell me that she hadn't already told me? What was it that she was going to tell me that she hadn't taught me sitting on her knee from my youth? What was it she was going to tell me that my father hadn't told me earlier in the evening? She didn't know what to say. And eventually the silence was broken. And she said to me, "You know, Brian, there's nothing I can do for you. And there's nothing that you can do for yourself." Then she said, "Because it's all been done." Did you hear it? "Because it's all been done." Ah, that's the message I needed to hear. It's all been done. And I remember throwing my head into the pillows on my bed. And I cried out, "It's done, it's done." I remember lifting my head from the pillows and saying, "Mum, I think I've got saved." Later, Mum would tell me sometime later that she knew I'd got saved. She says, "Brian, I saw it." But she was wise and she said to me, "Brian, how do you know you're saved?" And I said, "Well, it says in the Bible, doesn't it, that it is finished, it's all done." And she says, "Can you find it?" And I tried to find it. And I knew obviously it was in the Gospels, and I knew it was in the end of the Gospels, and my mind was in a bit of a whirl. And I said, "It's somewhere near where the big writing is, the big capital letters." And eventually I found the words, "It is finished." And I remember saying, "There. It's finished." You see, what had dawned in upon my soul, it was all about Christ and what he had done. It wasn't about the amount of my faith. It was the one in whom I put my trust. Oh, my dear friend, tonight, I want to tell you that Christ Jesus is worthy of your trust. My dear friend, you get focused upon him who is the Savior of sinners. Oh, yes, you'll have to put your faith in Christ to be saved, unquestionably. But what matters? What you put your faith in, or your faith. I could put my faith in Islam, and I would be damned to go down to hell. I could put my faith in Buddha, and I would go down to hell. I could put my faith in religion, and I would go down to hell. It's what I put my faith in. Who I put my faith in. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He is worthy of your trust. He is the one that has provided salvation. He is the one that has done all the working. And he says to you, don't do any working. You leave the working to me. You do all the trusting and put your faith in me, and I will save you. Oh, my dear friend, I want to tell you, he will save you, and he will save you now. There's no question about it. You've been maybe waiting for years. What are you waiting on? Are you waiting on God to do something greater in his salvation? Are you waiting for some spectacular light from the scriptures? My dear friend, take God at his word. I remember well one man telling how he got saved. And one of the points he felt as he was striving to be saved, he was thinking, oh, I need to feel more lost. And then it dawned in upon him, you don't need to feel lost, you are lost. Oh, my dear friend, tonight, you don't need to feel anything. You need to just simply believe. He that believeth in the Son hath everlasting life. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Oh, my dear friend, Christ died for the ungodly. Would you just take that humble place? Not the place of the sinner that's most anxious. Not the place of the sinner that's going to have the most faith. But just as you are, with no plea of your own, but that his blood was shed for you. Trust him this evening and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God that in those early hours of the 10th of May, 83, God saved me. God changed me. God gave me new life. And I am glad today that I was saved away from a life of sin. I am glad today I don't have the horrors of memory of sinful activities. No. No, no, my dear friend. I rejoice that I am saved from this present evil world. I am saved from the power of sin. And I'm looking forward to be saved from the very presence of sin. To be in a place where sin doesn't dwell. To be filled and to know the fullness of God. You know, we live in a world of sorrow and sadness and disappointment. There are many hearts that are breaking. You see, my dear friend, you're made in the image of God. You're a spiritual being. And the only thing that can fill that void is God. Without that, my dear friend, your life is meaningless. It's empty. And that's why there are so many around us in this world of me and this world of atheism. The emptiness of that life without God, it's vain. It's a disappointment, it's sorrow. And we live in a world where it's all about me and everything's relative to me. And we live in a me self-centered world. And that's why so many are in sorrow. That's why carnal saints are suffering in themselves, because it's all about me. My dear friend, tonight I praise God when God saved me and gave me new life. I was able to let go of the preeminence of self and acknowledge the preeminence of Christ and know that in his preeminence is my richest blessing. Oh, would to God tonight you know peace. The peace of God that passes understanding. That you would know what it is to be set free from the power and grip of sin with its sorrows and its disappointments. Be able to say it's well with my soul. I don't say it's well with my soul because I went through some religious act or I was brought up religiously or anything like that. No, 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 dear friend. I will tell you, I'm going to be in heaven all because of him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he has done at Calvary's cross to save my soul. Are you saved today? Do you have peace with God? Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. My dear friend, if you want to be saved, you get off this call and you get alone with God. And you stay in the presence of God and the Word of God until you get saved. And put your mind upon Christ and what He has done. Keep your mind fixed on Him. And I want to tell you, those that come to Him, He will not cast out. Shall we close in prayer?